From WBHM News, I'm Andrew Yeager. The Alabama Department of Corrections has settled more than 100 lawsuits against corrections officers for excessive use of force since 2020. In some cases, prisoners say officers left them with broken bones and brain damage. Beth Shelburne, a Birmingham-based independent investigative reporter, found out how much taxpayers are forking out for these lawsuits in her recent four-part series called Blood Money for the Alabama Reflector. WBHM's Noelle Annan spoke with Shelburne.
Let's start with Cody Williams. You cover a lot of cases in your series, but you spend an entire article focusing on one man and one case. So what sets him apart?
Cody Williams was a young man who was serving a short prison sentence in Alabama for convictions related to opioid addiction, and was called out of a dorm during a shakedown by a group of officers who accused him of hiding some contraband items. Cody Williams denied that they were his. He still maintains that. But these officers, according to him, took him into the prison's barbershop and beat him to the point that his hip was broken. They end up sending him out to Brookwood Hospital for surgery the next day, but the prison is never able to say how he sustained this injury, nor do they seem interested in finding out. Cody Williams recovers from his injury, but when he's released from the Department of Corrections, he sues, alleging excessive force. That goes through about 2 years of litigation, and then the state offers a $140,000 settlement to him, which he accepts. Cody Williams told me, and he's now out of prison, that this really felt like the only measure of accountability that he could get from the system, because everyone that he told that this happened didn't believe him or didn't investigate it, just blew it off. Officers to this day have denied that this incident happened. And that's what's so perplexing about these cases, is the state will continue to deny the claims on their face, but will quietly negotiate these paid settlements, which is done behind closed doors, usually sealed in court records. And I've examined many of the personnel files connected to these officers, and there's nothing in their personnel file to reflect the allegations from these lawsuits. So it's, while this is a story about an abusive system, I think it's also a story that illustrates dysfunctional government at its worst.
What do government officials have to say about this?
I submitted multiple requests, phone calls, emails, a submitted list of questions to our Attorney General's office, and it was never acknowledged. Our Attorney General is responsible for handling all litigation involving our Department of Corrections. ADOC responded to my questions in writing, but they were pretty standard boilerplate answers. The governor has just been radio silent on all of this. So that actually has been the most challenging part in doing this reporting, is this strange wall of silence against something so incredibly serious and life-threatening, something using so many state resources and dollars in the midst of, you know, this crisis where people are dying in our prisons.
So you mentioned dollars and resources, and in your series, you talk about the accounts that pay for these lawsuits funded by the taxpayers. Can you give us an idea of how much money is being spent here?
We identified $17 million that has been taken out of the liability trust fund between 2020 and 2024 to address this litigation. The vast majority of that money, almost $13 million of the $17 million, went to attorneys. The plaintiffs, on the other hand, really received a pittance. The median settlement in these 94 excessive force cases was just $8,000. One of the attorneys that I interviewed said, a question worth asking is, what does this say about our collective values? That we are using a fund that's set up to defend state employees, yes, when they're sued, but also to give people something who are wronged. These kinds of incidents where officers are beating people into comas, sending them to the hospital, knocking out teeth, breaking bones, causing, in some cases, permanent injury and disfigurement. If that was happening in any other space, it would be completely unacceptable to us in society. So why isn't it unacceptable when it's happening to people in prison?
What should our audience take away from your story?
Well, I'm always hoping that people that aren't directly impacted by mass incarceration will hear about these stories and will start to care. But if they don't care about people in prison being harmed, I'm hoping that they will care about the way that their tax dollars are being used and to be going to private attorneys who are getting rich off our prison crisis.
That was investigative reporter Beth Shelburne speaking about her series Blood Money for the Alabama Reflector. She spoke with WBHM's Noelle Ananen.